The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan. When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Keith McPherson on The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
City is Monday night, the last day of the month. April showers are hitting. It's about to be the first of the month. Wake up, get up. The Mets woke up to the victors go to spoils. That's paid Pete. That's Pete Alonso. Oppo Taco Tuesday. We'll start Mets. Of course, we're going to talk about your New York Yankees. I mean, you love to see it. A great start to the baseball season. You can't predict baseball. And what I'll say is, listen, man, like, this is a short show tonight. I'm going to keep it to the sports because that's what we're all here for and what we have in common. And I don't think any of you really care that much about my personal life. I don't have any other jokes and stuff. This show will be over at 2 a.m. Welcome in, KM, to 2 a.m. So, yeah, to the victor go the spoils, right? The Mets won tonight. The Yankees were off tonight, so we'll start Mets. And you know, I'm so tired of hearing people tell us diehard fans, like, I think you're a diehard fan if you're listening to WFAN with almost 20 minutes to go in the night to hear calls, to hear takes, to hear conversation around sports. You're a fan. Like, you would go to bed, right, if you weren't that into this. I'm so tired of hearing people telling us how to feel and what to do, what not to celebrate, what not to be into. Oh, relax. It's just this many games. You know what we do in the winter? We stare outside and we wait for spring and spring training. And now spring training is over and opening day has passed. And now these games count. So, you know, we have to react to what we see. Now, some of you are going to call up and overreact. And when you call up and you overreact, I'm going to be like, oh, yo. Hey. Like, let me stop you. Let me remind you. Like, we can't fast forward to October. We take this day by day, game by game, series to series, week to week, and month to month. We don't know what's going to happen. So, you know, we can jump on a few topics tonight, but we can't jump to conclusions. 888-808-1019. I just wanted to put that out there. I've been watching baseball for a little bit of time, and I understand you're not going to get anything from me proclaiming that this is this or that. Like, we don't know. We don't know who is who and what is what. We'll go through the Mets, the Yankees, and MLB news. Maybe we'll get to the Jets and Giants later. But like I said, to the victor go the spoils. So without further ado, the Make It Happen Mets. Yay! Put it in the books. The Mets win. You know, no such thing as a must-win game on game four of the season. I was just saying this to Paulie, like, obviously, you know, how many times are like, must-win game coming up? There's no such thing as a must-win game. You could go defeated for your first couple weeks. But tonight was a night where the Mets had to win this game. Tonight was a night where the Mets came out and they did win this game, and they did it very convincingly, and the game was over in the fifth inning. This is a game with David Peterson on the mound. Shout out to him, picking up from where he left off last year. Question marks about whether he could do it again. Would he look like an ace again? I said that he was an unsung hero for points of the season last year in that late summer run. David Peterson goes out there and he's solid. Okay, a solo shot. Solo shot's not beating anybody. Sometimes. But they're not beating this lineup, this Mets lineup. He has a strong start. He gives up two solo shots, two earned runs, five hits, nine strikeouts, three walks over the six innings. And this was a day where the Mets go out there without their captain. This was a day where the Mets go out there without the runner-up in the National League MVP, Francisco Lindor. Congrats to Francisco Lindor and his wife, Katia. Their son was born on Sunday, Koa. And so Lindor was not in the lineup today. What I've read was they were in Orlando having the child. Obviously not that far from Miami to get there. We know Lindor is an Iron Man. He wants to play every day. Mike Puma asked Lindor on his decision to rejoin the team today following the birth of his son. And he said, I wasn't having a baby. My wife did. She said it was okay to leave, and I left. I was also saying pre-show to Paulie, as my son will be 2 years old, and we'll talk about not taking your kids to the ballpark. That's the only place I'm going to veer off tonight. Not for long, but it's something I got to speak on. I'm like, you're not supposed to say that. As the dude, as the dad, you're not supposed to say, I didn't have the kid. We know you didn't have the kid. You're supposed to be there and support your wife. But I guess when you're Francisco Lindor, the $300-plus million man, and it's your third kid, like, you can say that, and his wife's not tripping in. Like he said, she said it was okay. I left. So congrats to the Lindor family, and congrats to the Make It Happen Mets. Sometimes you need a little shakeup like that, right? Something else that I'll say is, like, forget the Houston series. Forget about Daikin Park. That is over. Like, it doesn't matter. It won't matter. It was disappointing. It was somewhat of a slow start. Just forget it and move on. Turn the page, right? Apple TV game on Friday where the Yankees don't play on Friday. So you get the whole city watching and the whole, you know, baseball universe watching Apple TV on Friday. Shout out to Juan Soto. I bet on that homer. And if you were listening to my show on opening day night, Thursday, what did I say? I wasn't trolling. I wasn't laughing at Soto. I'm also not like one of these Yankee fans that Mets fans think are hurt or coping. Like, I'm good. We'll get to the Yankees team and why I'm good on the Yankees. But like I told you, I watched Juan Soto last year. After game one ended with the bat in his hands, him striking out with Josh Hader on the mound to take that L, I'm like, oh, he's coming back. He's homering tomorrow. If I were you, I'd bet on that. So I did bet on that and used the profit boost. And Juan Soto homered, and it was a no-doubter. And that's the type of guy he is, and that's the type of guy he'll be. But he can't do it on his own. Even the double he had, you know, that double is not a double. That's not a double in other parks. But it was, and boy, did the Mets need it because they would end up getting one hit, whatever. And I lost money betting on the Mets. I thought they were going to come out in the rubber match and take that one, but whatever. It's a weird schedule anyway. You don't play on a Sunday. That's in the past. We don't even have to talk about the Houston Astros. I hate the Houston Astros. Like, people think I hate the Mets. People think I hate the Red Sox. No, I hate the Astros. I was honestly rooting for the Mets to beat the Houston Astros. And you know what? The Astros did not have to score too many runs to beat the Mets. But hey, whatever. They saved it for Miami, and they're going to need it for tomorrow's game. That's why I say you can't really have a must-win game this early in the season. But when Sandy Alcantara is on the mound for the Marlins, right, their ace, a guy who was one of the best pitchers in baseball, and Kodai Senga's on the mound, and we're excited to see ace versus ace, but, you know, neither one of those guys pitched much. Neither one of those guys pitched much last year. In a must-win situation today, the Mets come out, they score 10 runs. That's a big 10-4. And obviously, late in the game, Danny Young, whatever, it only sucks because the bullpen had been nails and hadn't given up any runs, so you would want a cleaner win and you'd want to keep that intact, but whatever. You know, the biggest things that I saw from the Mets, and Pete Alonso said this, stay tuned for our big shot of the night. You know, Pete Alonso said they had good at-bats, and they did, right? The Mets came in tonight where it's like, okay, Starling Marte, you're going to lead off since Lindor is gone, and he homered. He gets an opportunity, and he homers. So, you know, this is a guy that was thinking he lost his opportunity or, you know, was not going to get as many opportunities, and he makes the most of it. He's a pro. Even a young guy like Acuna, who Lindor talked about him being bored and him needing to be in these type of games, well, man, he's got to play. Obviously, he started at short tonight, but, like, his speed, his athleticism on the Siri double, him motoring, speed kills, right? After Marte ties the game up, you're able to take that 2-1 lead and not look back. 888-808-1019. The Make It Happen Mets. Cal Quantrill, they left the boy out there too long. You know, he had it going a little bit for a little while, and then eventually he gets got. And, I mean, with Pete Alonso, again, forget Houston. There's so much talk about, you know, even what Lindor didn't do in Houston and what Nimmo didn't do. Well, you know what? They go to Miami, and it's mostly Mets fans down there. They go to Miami, and it's a very, like, home-sounding crowd, and it's an opportunity to get right. And they did. I think that was Pete Alonso's fourth Grand Slam of his career. He's, I think, 25 or 26 home runs. I got to go back to my notes if I could scroll through my notes. Away from the Mets all-time record. I was listening to How We Call the Game, and it made me think. I'm like, okay, so we're going to be doing this Pete Alonso home run counter for the whole season until he gets to the franchise record. Like, that's something to look forward to. That's something kind of cool. 888-808-1019. For him to come through, go Oppo. For him to come through and blow that game open from 2-1 to 6-1, the polar bear, Pete Alonso, all the talk in the offseason, him getting paid, what he got paid, that's him making you feel like you're getting your money's worth. That's him saying, like, I still got it. He said it's been a while, right? To homer like that in a big league game, it feels good. I can do it. And he comes through when Lindor isn't there. He comes through when, you know, it isn't necessarily Soto to get it done. But shout out to Soto. I saw Soto make some plays. You know, there was one ball that, like, got under his glove, but it didn't matter. You know, Siri was there to back him up. I saw Soto make plays going to his left and his right. Soto has a home down there in Miami, so he was back at home. Good for him. Good for Luis Torrens. Good for Brandon Nimmo. Good for the Mets to go to Miami and beat a team where if they lose to the Miami Marlins, who have been scrappy, right? They beat the Pirates, and they took 3 out of 4 from the Pirates, and they were on some never-say-die, like, walking them off. And if the Mets go into Miami and lose to the Miami Marlins, the conversation is, oh, this, you know, this team combined doesn't make as much money as their right fielder Juan Soto. Look at their payroll. Look at the poverty Marlins. Oh, the didn't happen. So it sets up for a game tomorrow that you absolutely need to. That you absolutely need to. Show no mercy to the Miami Marlins. You got to bully them. Show no mercy to a division rival. That's another thing with the Houston series. It's interleague. It's AL. It is not going to matter as much. These division games absolutely matter. So starting with the Mets, 888-808-1019. That is a good outing. That's a good night. That's a must-win game. You put 10 runs up, 11 hits. You go out there, multiple guys homer. And you needed it with all of the conversation around the other team in town, the New York Yankees, the 27-time champions, who now I'm just hearing all the stuff about, oh, they're the evil empire still, and all this shows that the Yankees are back. Like, the Yankees never left. They were just in the World Series a few months ago. The Yankees still have one of the highest payrolls. The Yankees were the team to kick off the season at 3:05, nationally televised game with Joe Buck. Now the Yankees are back because everybody's like, bro, I don't know. I think it's good for baseball. I think that there's no such publicity as bad publicity. I think that every show across the country has to talk about this in baseball, and it's a layup for them to talk about this in baseball, but I'm not going to talk about it because I don't care. I was really hoping that by tonight, a lot of you would be over it, specifically Yankee fans I know are over it, because there's not much of a conversation to have about what they're doing unless you want to get deep into the stuff that's like, I don't know, it doesn't matter. I'll indulge some of you. I know I'm going to have to, but this is what I want to say about the New York Yankees. They needed that. We needed that. And again, let people enjoy things. Don't let anybody rain on your parade. Don't let anybody tell you how to feel as a fan. I had a take when I was on Thursday, and I saw it get written up, and I saw some people online take it the wrong way. Whatever. People are dumb online, especially anonymous people that just, like, they say too much. That's another thing with this whole thing. Shout out to my Uncle Ray. My Uncle Ray had a quote. He used to be like, if you didn't talk so much, people wouldn't know how dumb you are. It sounds harsh, but it's facts. All of this stuff around the Yankees, people are saying things, and I'm just like, you guys are dumb. You guys are stupid. It's super stupid. Dumb. But whatever. What I'm saying here is, you know, with the Yankees, them coming out and winning opening day, right? Sweeping the Brew Crew, and the Brewers got off the hook completely until we saw today the Kansas City Royals put an 11 spot on them. And then people said, oh, maybe they just can't pitch. Maybe they can't hit either. In their home ballpark, they got ran out of their home ballpark. Like, they're having a tough go at it. Nestor Cortez is their number two starter. Like, I was at the game Saturday. That's the game, you know, at some point tonight I'll tell you about bringing my almost two-year-old son. You know, you can't predict baseball. I just wanted to go to, you know, family Saturday, first Saturday of opening weekend. It's going to be 77. It might be cold for the next month. I don't know how many cold April games I've been to, but I don't like them. I got to take advantage of this one. And did I know that they were going to come out? Boom. Goldie. Bomb. Boom. Belly. A back-to-back. A belly-to-belly. Boom. Like, it was, like, to watch live, it felt like a simulation. It did feel like a cheat code. But ultimately, like, when I say the Yankees needed this, and I talk about the take that I had, and you know, people are dumb online, the take that I had was about how good opening day felt and how that memory of opening day erased the last memory that we had from Game 5. Obviously, everyone knows what happened in Game 5 of the World Series, but I'm talking about stadium goers. I'm talking about fans that were at the World Series and also at opening day, that saw those two games live. I'm talking about all the people that I see at Yankee Stadium that I really only see at Yankee Stadium. We had to wait months to get back into that building. We had to wait months to get baseball, to get a new game, to get a new experience, to be in the front of our minds and push that terrible experience into the back of our minds. And here we are. The whole weekend was great. If you got to go to one of those games, you went to all three. Yankee fans absolutely needed this. That is how you start the season. If you ask me, they got the best start in baseball. I don't care that the Dodgers went to Japan and played two games. Those two games weren't offered to the Yankees. The Cubs lost. I didn't watch a second of those games at 6 in the morning to 8 o'clock. That doesn't matter. Look at the run differential. Historic. They made history. Those should be the headlines. That the Yankees are picking up where they left off and they're on a mission. They're on a warpath. They have a vengeance. You know, I remember last year saying, Jazz, I don't like how much Jazz is talking about the World Series. We're going to bring 28 back. We're going to win a World Series. Sunday, after his two home run performance, Meredith interviewed him and he said, yeah, you know, we're trying to win the World Series. And I didn't feel the same. I didn't feel so, I don't say it. I felt like, duh, the bar is always the World Series. But now that the Yankees went to the World Series, lost the World Series, the bar is set a tick higher. Get back to the World Series and win it. And there's no reason to shy away from it. This lineup is deeper. We'll talk Yankees defense. The defense will be better. We know there were injuries, whatever, but it is a team with the best player in the game on it. Don't shy away from it. Your thoughts become things. And if everybody wants to say they're cheating and come up with all this other nonsense, no. They have a team that's locked in, motivated, that goes as Judge the captain goes, and they have some other stars and some other people with things to prove. It's World Series. It's World Series. And you can say it and you can speak it into existence because there's no reason to run from it or hide from it. Yankee fans want it. And this is how you start the 2025 season and put last year behind us to get to the goal. 888-808-1019. We'll start talking more into what the Yankees did this weekend with the 20 runs, 36 total, all the home runs. We'll talk about the Mets pitching, the Mets bullpen, the Mets lineup. And we'll take your calls at 888-808-1019. This is Keith McPherson on The Fan. I will be right back.